All right, Psalms 143. Oh my goodness. 2 through 11. I'll start at the beginning. Hear my prayer, O Jehovah. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness and your righteousness. And do not enter into judgment with your servant, for not anyone living is just in your sight. In other words, he's saying, God, help me, but please don't judge me. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has beaten my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who died long ago. And my spirit within me has fainted, and my heart within me is stunned. Okay, it goes on. I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul is to you like a weary land. O Jehovah, answer me quickly. My spirit is spent. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like the ones who go down to the pit. Cause me to hear your mercy in the morning, for I do trust in you. Cause me to know the way I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Jehovah, deliver me from my enemies. With you I have hidden myself. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You ought to write that one down. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. You ought to read that thing over and over to yourself. Because what he's saying here, David is saying, hey, I'm depressed here. I'm discouraged here. Some of your translations will even say depressed. I am beaten down. Okay? He is buying the lies from the enemy. And he's crying out to God. What is he seeing here? God, you're the only righteous judge. Have mercy on me. Now, this is before the cross. And you see here that Satan will torment you and beat you down to bring you to a place of depression, to have your spirit man, to faint, to be weary, to lose hope. And do what David did, but you can even do it more powerfully because God lives inside of you and you know that Satan's defeated. That hadn't happened yet for David. But I just want to show you the connection between feeling like you're all beat down and depression. Proverbs 31, it says, give fermented drink to one who's perishing and wine to the bitter of soul. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Now, this is not what God wants you to do. This is the world's way. Alcoholism is a coping mechanism for those who feel like there's no hope. Alcoholism is for someone whose soul is bitter. So if you've had a problem with alcohol or substance abuse, there's a spiritual law here that tells how Satan beat you down, caused you not to understand God, and made your soul bitter so that he could cause you to be one going after substance such as alcohol or drugs because it was your only way out of the pain. And I just thought that this was interesting, that you need to see that if you abase yourself, if you feel like your whole life is horrible and you just feel like there's no hope for you and you feel like everything's wrong, your deep down thing is blaming God. And when you blame God, you get that bitterness of the soul, and it's going to cause, it can, and many times the coping mechanism will be alcohol or substance abuse. And so I want you to see, we need to get rid of the abasing spirit to not go back to the drinking and to not go back to the drugs, okay? You know, this is really powerful. So if you know anybody who struggles with substance abuse, you need to really realize there is probably an underlying strong bitterness against God and abasing themselves because they just feel like they feel like they're so horrible and there's no hope. And they feel like God made them that way. All right, and the last one I had here was Job 39:16. And now I am their song, yeah, I am their byword. They despise me and they keep away from me. They do not spit from my face. Because he who has loosed his bowstring has afflicted me. They have also thrown off the bridle in my presence. Keeps on. On my right hand abroad rises. They push away my feet and raise the destruction of ways against me. They have broken down my path. They have profited by my ruin. They have no helper. They come on as through a break, they roll on under ruin. Tears are turned on me. They pursue my soul like the wind, and my goods pass away like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have seized me. The night pierces my bones on me, and my gnawings never lie down. By the great force of my disease, my garment is disfigured. It chokes me like the mouth of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. And that, again, is just showing this being broken down, feeling you're horrible, and then terrors turning on you. Now, remember, all the Old Testament, when it talks about this, is before people understood that Christ had taken the guilt. You can't even find this really talked about in New Testament, because believers aren't supposed to be depressed. Why? The joy of the Lord is our strength. But if we have this abasing spirit, even from before we found Christ, it's going to be a part of our personality that Satan's going to be able to take into depression, that Satan's going to be able to bring down to the pit, that Satan's going to be have access to torment. If we would get the revelation tonight that all of the guilt has been paid for, all the sin went to the cross, and we just have to repent and put it there, and all the guilt that went with the sin has been taken by Christ. Therefore, Satan has no right at all to torment me, talk to me, and deal with me. If you really love God and you belong to Jesus Christ, then when something comes up in the area of God convicting you, then you just work it out with God. You work it out with God. I believe that abasing, some of you have thought that that was being convicted by God. And therefore, you still have the tormentor, the accuser of the brethren, the false judge, condemning you all the time. Okay? So, how many get it? Some of you get it, some of you don't. That's okay. What I want to do is I want to do an altar call. I think a lot of you, if this is a really big issue with a lot of you, and it is, valley people have a lot of guilt. Valley people, I see the people, the mountains are the haughty ones. They think they're all that. They don't think they've ever... They think Jesus didn't need to die because of them, because they were way too good. But the valley people who've been told you're bad, you're evil, you're horrible, something's wrong with you your whole life, you've bought that. It's been built up and built up and built up. And part of it is, yes, something's wrong with everybody without Christ. But Satan has poured so much guilt on you. So I'm just thinking guilt would be... guilt is where you feel like you still should be punished. Guilt is where you self-punish. How do you self-punish? You self-punish by getting in codependent relationships where you let the person beat you up. Part of guilt is, I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't said that. That's the whole thing. You caused me to do that. I didn't want to hit you, but when you made that look, and the underlying guilt on that is you caused that. Instead of the person saying, oh, I need to go to God. I can't believe I did that. There's something wrong in my heart. Guilt says there's something wrong in you that caused me to react like this, so you deserve it. Okay, like I said, we did 4 hours on this, so some of you are going to need some of this to get it. But it's guilt is, I deserve this punishment. Sometimes that's true. But even then, yep, but Christ paid for it. Sometimes it's not even true, it's just put on you. As somebody else's coping mechanism and not dealing with their own junk. So it's all mixed in there. The bottom line of guilt, whether it's earned guilt or guilt you shouldn't even be carrying, he took it all. Now, you may have to break that down to get free. Truthfully, there's a lot of power when a critical spirit or a demonic spirit in someone says things to you. And even though your brain says, I don't believe that. I mean, in the South, if you're black and you're over the age of 40, you heard for years that there's something wrong with you just because of your color. Now, they didn't say it was just because of your color. They said it was because of this, and it was because of this, and it was because of this. And as much as you don't want to believe that, that demonic attack made many people believe it, to where they then have to deal with it and cope with it. And deep down, there's a bitterness because, my gosh, I didn't choose to be black. Or I didn't choose to be a woman. Or you take on the other thing, the flip side, and say, you know, proud to be black and all that black power thing for a while. That's just a counterfeit. because you're trying to run away. You're trying to run away from a lie. Folks, you don't have to run away from a lie. You confront a lie. You break the power of the lie with the truth from God's word. I don't need black power because I got Holy Ghost power. I'm a child of God. He likes to wear a lot of different colors. So you got to go way back to the truth. You got to bring your children back to that truth. And you can't, and just all this other stuff we've done, even as the church, is just baloney. We've really got to sit down. If your race is African American, see, if you were in Africa, you'd have a bunch of other different problems. But you wouldn't be caring about your race. Would you be caring about witchcraft and voodoo and who knows what else, depending on what's going on? That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter where you're at. Satan's going to do something. But the key is to sit down and get real with what is truth. And part of that is saying to yourself, how do I feel about being black? Not with the hoo-hoo, not with the, you know, but with the honest to goodness, how do I feel about being black?